You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com. Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Beyond the Ribbon. My name is Ryan Parnell, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and oncology nurse, Pam McMillan.
Hey, Ryan. How are you today?
I'm good, Pam. How about yourself?
I'm good. You know, we talk about a lot of topics, don't we?
We sure do.
This one is one that we haven't covered, but I know it's a great need because some of our survivors suffer from having an ostomy or living with an ostomy.
That's right.
It's just maybe not suffering, but learning to live with an ostomy.
Lifestyle change, I would imagine, is a really big concern.
Yes. And, you know, maybe for those that are listening that they don't have an ostomy, maybe they can learn something and understand someone that does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of those things when we first started out with this podcast, and we've talked about this before, we talked about we want to ask the hard questions, cover the uncomfortable topics, and really be a true resource to our cancer survivors.
Exactly. And find the expert in that field. So I think we have two good experts today.
I was just about to say that. Not only do we find one, we found two. Yes. And so super excited to introduce to you guys two nurses. And as I clearly am outnumbered in the nursing category in the room, but Crystal Hodges has been a nurse for 20 years, certified in med-surg, wound, ostomy, and conservative sharps debridement. She has background experience in nursing leadership, oncology, neurology, women's med-surg, home health, and wound and ostomy care. And then also Eva Garcia has been a nurse for 27 years, Pam.
I'd say they know a lot.
Yes, certified in wound, ostomy, and conservative sharps wound debridement. Background experience in nursing leadership, med-surg, ICU, day surgery, PACU, ER, home health, and wound and ostomy care. It's great. These are you guys. Thank you for joining us. We're super excited to have you. It's not often that we have multi-guests on a podcast, but it makes it so much more fun because I feel like in just looking at your backgrounds and reading your backgrounds, you both have a wealth of knowledge to share with our folks. So thank you again for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having us. Yes, thank you.
Well, you know, Pam, we always like to start at the beginning. That's kind of one of our hallmarks, right? Is kind of starting at the beginning. So let's just, for those that may not know, let's talk about what an ostomy is.
Just simply put, an ostomy is just a diversion in either urine or stool. It can be in from the bladder, or it can be from the small intestine or the large intestine. So all their stool, their gas, or their urine will be coming out of a stoma.
All right.
So what is a stoma?
A stoma is actually either the small intestine or the large intestine that's outside of the abdomen. If it's urine that's coming out, it's still made of the small intestine. So it would still be the small intestine sticking outside of the abdomen.
Okay.
Well, that is a very simple description for a very complex potential thing, right? I mean, this is not as simple as just an opening and we have fluids or bowel coming out. Tell us kind of the purpose of an ostomy.
It's to divert the urine or the stool. So a lot of times we'll have rectal cancer patients. So they have a large tumor that they have to resect. Patients either have it for temporary on the stool one, not usually the ureostomy, but ileostomy or the colostomy, usually it can be temporary or permanent depending on what kind of cancer they're treating or how much of the rectum that they had to take out. If they're having to take out the entire rectum, then it would be a permanent ostomy. If they're having to take out just some of the rectum and needing to let that area heal where they sutured the intestines back together after resecting that tumor, they just kind of go up in the pipeline and divert that stool out so that that has time to heal, usually anywhere between 6 weeks and 6 months, depending on how sick the intestine was.
People have ostomies for other reasons besides cancer, correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Yes. So what are some maybe myths about ostomies?
Let's see. I know that people are concerned about if they're going to know that they're wearing an ostomy, and these pouches that they have now are actually made where they're odor proof, and they make belts where it can be hidden well. And Crystal and I were very blessed to be able to be with a part of the pre-admit. A lot of times we get to see the patients in pre-admit and mark them for an ostomy. So therefore, we are able to see what's going to function better for them as far as wearing it with their clothes. So it's not necessarily, it's not going to be hanging out under their shirt or over the pants. We try to work with the patient to see what will function best for them.
You talked about odor. Do ostomies smell?
So, again, the pouches are made to be odor-proof. And one thing we teach our ostomates is if you do start to smell anything, if you start to have some kind of odor, more than likely there's a leak somewhere. Either there's a leak or the end or the tail of the pouch or bag was not cleaned all the way. So we teach them to clean it appropriately to try to avoid any kind of odor. And then, of course, they make lubricating and deodorant drops to add for that. So no, you should not be able to smell. If you smell anything, there's a leak or it needs to maybe be cleaned a little bit more.
There is help.
And it's fixable, it sounds like.
Yes, very fixable.
Just to tag on to that, too, we always do our education with the patient and then their support person, whoever that might be, who would be helping them after they leave the hospital. And we tell them to be honest with the patient because our brains do crazy things to us and they may smell odor. And we're sitting right next to them trying to smell it, and it's not there. But they're self-conscious about it, and they smell it. And so we always tell their significant other, their partner, to be honest with them and for them to trust them, that they were going to tell them if they do smell odor so that they can fix the issue. But if they tell them it does not stink, they've got to have that trust with each other that it does not have an odor.
So what about those that have ostomies? Can they control the sound of the ostomy?
No, not necessarily. You no longer have a sphincter, you know, like if we're out in public and we need it to toot, we have things that we can do to prevent that from coming out. They no longer have that. But a lot of times you'll still feel those cramps in your abdomen knowing you're about to pass gas. You can put your hand over it to muffle it. That helps a lot. And then as time goes on, after the first 4 or 6 weeks, you'll know what foods make you more gassy. So just planning, if you're going to go to church, if you're going to go out with friends for dinner, don't have those foods probably 4 to 8 hours prior to you leaving for that function.
Is there a top food that is guaranteed to have the gas?
No, there's really not. Everybody is totally different. You know, it could be cabbage, could be broccoli, some people's milk or lactose products. Totally depends on their body.
You touched on a word a second ago, education, and I cannot imagine how much education has to go into when someone go into visiting with someone and training when someone was having an ostomy put in. How long does your education last with someone?
I'll start off with the pre-op stuff. If it's a most of the time, if it's like the cancer patients, it's a scheduled surgery. And so they know they're going to come in for an ostomy surgery. And so they go to pre-admit and we go into there and we meet them and meet their family. We mark them so that it's a good placement for them so that they can take care of it. They can see it. They can wear it with the type of clothes they're used to wearing. All those things are several things that go into it. We don't want it to be around a crease or abdominal folds or scars, things like that. So we do that in pre-admit. We also make sure that they know why they're having the surgery and explain it to them in simple terms that they can understand and let them know that they can live a life after this. That's huge. We answer any questions they have before surgery and just make sure that they are comfortable going into it and knowing what to expect afterwards. And then we teach them afterwards also. We start either seeing them the day of or the day after, and I'll let Miss Eva talk to you about that.
Of course, with each patient is different. Each ostomate that we see is different post-op. Some have to manage it on their own, and some have a lot of family that's there to support them. So what we try to do is just kind of feel each situation out and see when really they're ready to be discharged. You know, some might have known somebody that, or maybe they took care of their father that previously had an ostomy and they're very familiar with it. It might be a 1 or 2 day thing. Whereas we've had some that we have them for their entire stay and they still go home and have questions. So we just make sure that they have the resources needed. So each one is different. We really try to pay attention to what they understand. Kind of like Crystal said, we make sure that the family or whatever support system, friends that are there, and we get them all involved and just give them whatever time they need to understand with all the education. There's definitely a lot of education.
I can only think of one thing is if I was in that situation, body image would be a huge thing. How do people deal with that?
Oh, wow. That's a good one, because we have seen them. I think a lot of times when I've noticed where they have some difficulty is, of course, in pre-admit. Whenever they're seeing like, oh, this is what's about to happen, and they're thinking to themselves, you know, it's body disfigurement. Mm-hmm. It really is hard. So it's just kind of, again, you have to take the time with them, stop, let them kind of deal with it, you know, talk to their family. And then, of course, you know, after surgery, a lot of times, sometimes after Crystal and I see them, we tell them, okay, your homework today is just to look at it. Start to look at it, because this is something that you're going to have to be taking care of, whether it be the next 6 to 8 weeks or forever. So it's sometimes we don't get to start the education right away because we're trying to teach them, look at it. This is a part of you, and we're going to help you through with it.
I also think a lot of it has to do with their family. I had a patient just this past week that it took her 2 days to even look at her stoma, that red protruding intestine that they see on the outside of their stomach. She bawled and cried and wouldn't want anything to do with it for the first 2 days. But her husband was a trooper. Her husband was in there, hands-on, dealing with it, telling her it's okay, was not disgusted by it, all those things. And that, of course, you know, takes a ton of stress and weight off of her shoulders, knowing that her husband is okay with it. So I think a lot of that is just a help from their family.
You know, I can't help but think of some of our incredible, strong caregivers that have a loved one here at the center. And just as you said, I mean, caregivers are true superheroes.
Yes, they are.
I mean, it's just
make a big difference in a patient's life.
It can make all the difference in the world.
Yes, sir.
So you talk about relationships. How does that an ostomy affect a relationship?
Relationship as far as intimacy or friends, yes. Intimacy. You know, we talk about that also pre-op some. And because it's an embarrassing thing for the patient to ask, will I ever be able to be intimate with my significant other again? Yes, you will. You know, we have some resources that we brought today. Ostomy Secrets is a great one. They have amazing things, especially for women, like a black lacy kind of abdominal binder that they put over it, things to conceal it. They have all sorts of different things that patients don't even know about. So as long as they know that the resources are there and available to them, and that they can physically still be intimate with their partner, that takes a ton of stress off of them.
Yes. What other myths do you guys that you can share with our listeners?
I think one where a lot of ostomates are disabled and cannot work. That is absolutely a myth, because of course, after the first 6 to 8 weeks of post-op with any kind of abdominal surgery, you're going to be limited to the activities. But once released from that, then you're able to do anything that you were able to do before. Crystal and I have met some amazing people. One does marathons, a swimmer. They can still go out and do that. And that's kind of what we like to teach is whether it be an appendectomy or something where you're getting your gallbladder removed, you still have that post-op period where you're healing. But anytime after that, with an ostomy, you can still do anything. You can go rock climbing, you can go swimming, skydiving, whatever it was you were doing before, you can continue doing that.
So do they have to wear different bags for swimming compared to just normal day life?
No, they do not. Stealth Belt does have, for people that are like actual swimmers, they do come out with like a stealth belt that covers it up, protects it, that's neoprene material, so that helps. But no, they can shower, they can swim, get in the bathtub, all those things with the regular ostomy pouches and barriers.
I would venture to say, and again, Mr. Non-Clinical here, but I would venture to say that just hearing the words, you're going to have an ostomy, you automatically, one, assume the worst. You automatically think that your life is over. You can't do anything. And what I'm hearing is there's so many advancements and so many secrets, like you were saying, that if you don't know, I mean, you don't know until you need to know, and probably don't even ask the right questions.
Yes, we see that all the time. So that's why I think it's great for the patients to know the resources. We try to give them as many as we can when they're in the hospital. On their discharge paperwork, we give them multiple things that they have reference to, so that they always have. A lot of them follow just groups like on Facebook or whatever social media they're on, these support groups, and that's so helpful. They came to me and gave me tips and tricks that they've learned from each other. So yeah, we all learn from each other.
So can a patient with an ostomy fly? Because I'm thinking maybe cabin pressure may cause the bag to fail.
No, it does not.
Okay.
They can fly just fine. They don't have to do anything specific.
So is there anything that they cannot do that a normal person can't? That's exactly
what I was
just
about to say.
No. I mean, there's so many resources out there and mm-hmm. so many things, kind of like you talked about the stealth belt and playing sports. I know, like, for those that play the rougher sports, I don't remember what it's called, but they do have some kind of guard mm-hmm. that goes over the ostomy itself, so they won't be hit while they're playing sports. But they do make some kind of a stoma guard that goes over the stoma, so they can still play sports. They can play football and soccer and not worry about the stoma itself getting injured.
So what I'm hearing, Ryan, you can live with an ostomy just like a normal life.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's kind of shift gears if we can. And what are some of the other tips and tricks, if you will? Like you said, you know, if they feel gas coming, they can muffle the sound and avoid the certain foods. Are there any other tips or tricks that maybe some of our listeners who have an ostomy could learn from you guys?
I think for me, one of the tips and tricks that I actually learned from an ostomate years ago is a lot of times when you're changing your appliance, your ostomy appliance, you have no control, of course, over the effluent coming out or the contents coming out. Therefore, sometimes they feel like they're fighting that stool from coming out and they're having a difficult time putting the appliance on. Something I learned from an ostomate years ago was like prior to changing the appliance, in order to slow that output down, maybe have like three, four, or five of the large marshmallows. And there's something about that just slows that output. Or, you know, even changing it whenever you have the least amount of output is like first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Any other tricks?
There are so many tips and tricks. It's kind of hard to pick which ones. I do see a lot of times with our colostomy patients, their output's real thick, and so it doesn't like to slide down that pouch very easy. There is lubricating drops that you can just kind of squirt, drop into the pouch, and it makes that pouch oily. And so if it starts to stack up there by the stoma, they can push it down that pouch a lot easier. Another thing with that is if it gets stuck, a lot of the thicker stool gets stuck by that stoma, make sure that there's a little bit of air in your pouch. That helps it not have a vacuum seal right up against that stoma. And so that helps it also slide down a lot. I see a lot of patients irritated with that because it kind of piles up here and they start having leaking underneath the barrier.
So you talk about resources. For those listening, what do you have, like a top 10 list of resources or resources that you would recommend that they look? Because we know the internet can be a dangerous place.
Yes.
For reals.
So we want to make sure that we send them to the correct websites or resources.
Yes, we have the top three brands of ostomy supplies are Coloplast, Hollister, and ConvaTec. Each one of those brand names have a support system. So there was the Coloplast Care, Hollister Secure Start, and ConvaTec Me Plus program. I have the phone numbers and those websites.
You know, I think it's interesting that these manufacturers not only just manufacture and sell products, but they themselves have a major support network for folks using their products.
Yes, each and every one of them. And all of them are good, and they pretty much all supply the same thing. Do you want me to list the number for them?
Yeah, or the website, if you've got their websites.
Yes. Uh-huh. And the Coloplast program is care-us@coloplast.com. And then the Hollister Secure Start is hollister.com/en/sign-up. The Convatec Me Plus program is a 1-800 number, 1-800-422-8811. And here's a few of the benefits that all three of those programs help with. It's no cost to the patient. It's access to the benefits lifelong. They can give you free sampling and guidance. If you're having issues with troubleshooting, leaking issues at home, you can call them, I think up until like 7 o'clock every day of the week. And they will help you through that, troubleshoot it, see if they think you need to switch the ostomy appliance, and they can overnight you a different appliance to trial. You also have access to WOCNs for questions, assistance to get set up with the supplier who takes your insurance if they're having to pay out of pocket for their supplies. Also, assistant programs for the uninsured, and of course, access to several educational resources.
I think that, yeah, it's interesting. Let me ask you this. When you talk about insurance, how expensive is having an ostomy?
If you have insurance, it's not bad at all. Medicare pays pretty much 100% of it. They usually about 20 appliance changes a month. So if you're going through more than 20, we're having issues and you need to see an ostomy nurse to figure out what's going on.
So I know y'all are local. How do people get into contact with y'all?
With us, we always give them our office number if we've seen them in the hospital. It's hard if we've never met a patient. We can't pull up their history, pictures of what it looked like. But if we've seen you in the hospital, they're always welcome to call our office and we can help troubleshoot them for non-emergent issues. We're there until 3, Monday through Friday. We do not work on the weekends. There's also an ostomy nurse, a new ostomy nurse at the BSA outpatient clinic that they can call. And that number is 806-212-4700. If we have not seen you or if it's something we need to see you in person with, we can direct you to their office and you can go in and have a one-on-one visit with the ostomy nurse.
So don't suffer in silence.
Yeah. There's resources, Pam. And I know that, you know, we have folks that come to the center that maybe don't come as often as they'd like or because of having an ostomy. And we want to make sure that we get it. We understand. And there are resources.
Do you have another resource for us?
Yes, the UOAA, which is the United Ostomy Associations of America, has a good website, and they have so much information. Crystal and I were looking through it the other day, and if you're having issues with obtaining supplies because of finances, there's so many places listed there that you can get assistance with. It just kind of a lot of the myths that we're talking about are there. Just different resources, and that would be www.ostomy.org. And there's even, if you need emergency supplies, you can look through there. There's general information, and it kind of goes over different ostomies.
You know, I've learned a lot. Is there anything else that we have not covered that you would like to cover?
I think something that is very important is to let them know that they are not alone. There are resources out there. And if they don't know where to reach out, definitely go to the UOAA. There's different resources out there. Like Crystal said, even on Facebook, there's ostomy support groups there. Of course, if you're having issues, definitely try to see what you can do as far as getting in touch with an ostomy nurse. If you're not from around here, go to the UOAA and just kind of look for resources there to direct you. But do not go through this alone.
Yeah. Very, very well spoken. Very, 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 very good words to live by.
I have a question. What does it take to become an ostomy nurse?
We have to go through a certification program. So there's several different out there. They're not all made alike. So, you know, if you're going to pursue that, you want to go to the top two and really do your research on which program to go through.
So what I'm hearing is that you have to be well educated, know your stuff, and then you're able to help people.
Yes, and learn from your patients because they teach us something every day.
I would imagine so. Yes. You know, when you're going through it and you're living with it, they probably do teach you a lot.
Yes.
Well, thank you for sharing all of your information. And this brings us to our last segment. We're sponsored by the Auto Inc. family. Do y'all have an Auto Inc. inspiring moment that you could share with us?
Don't know that I would have a specific moment. I think it's just been the many, many times of meeting the patients and knowing that you have made that one difference for them, knowing that, okay, I can function with this. I can survive with this. And knowing that they're not alone, that they have their family. We have kind of showed them who their support group is, and knowing that, I mean, even after they leave, they still have me and Crystal to kind of help them through. Yeah. So that's kind of been just so amazing for me.
Crystal, do you have one that you want to share?
One is somebody had, we have, when we were working at the outpatient clinic, we were doing that briefly. We had several patients come in and they were just at a loss. They have, one of them have had their ureostomy, so the bladder urine diversion, for I think it was like since 2011. They got no education on it. Mm. This whole entire time they were paying out of pocket for all of their supplies. Mm. And came in and we got them set up and they were in awe of, oh my gosh, there are people out there that can help us with this. Again, you're not doing this alone. He did it alone for way too long. So do not do that. Reach out. Those three programs also, the Coloplast, Convatec, and Hollister, they can absolutely get you in touch with a walk nurse.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of is our motto. We don't want you to be alone.
That's right.
There's community out there. There's resources. It's just a matter of finding them, finding the right resource for those that are suffering.
And as we often say too, being an advocate for yourself.
Absolutely.
And just pressing, you know, for the answers. Get, you know, ask, find out, reach out. You know, Pam, we can be a resource. You know, if you are struggling with an ostomy and you need to be, you know, seen by a nurse, we know how to get you in touch with some folks that are able to help you.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for joining us. You know, I say it every time, I learn so much from our podcast, but I learned so much, as you guys said, from our survivors, as you do from your patients. And there's a very strong truth to that. And so we appreciate what you do. It's no secret that you care a lot about your patients. So we appreciate that.
Yes. Thank you for having us.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Pam, I think we covered a lot today, a lot of things that are very specific to certain people. Yes. Not everyone has an ostomy, but we know that those that do, I hope that they'll take a chance to listen to this, get those websites, get involved with support groups, reach out to those groups and get involved.
You know, and support groups are great. We also have a counselor. If they're having problems with body image, they're more than welcome to come and see one of our counselors here at the center. Give us a call at 806-331-2400.
Absolutely. You know, we have resources, and the thing is, it's free, Pam.
That's right.
Entirely better. Free. Entirely free. Well, thank you guys for joining us on this episode, and we do appreciate y'all sharing your education and your expertise. And listen, you guys listening, share this with someone that you know maybe has an ostomy, or that has a friend or a neighbor or a relative that has an ostomy there. Maybe they're struggling. Point them in those directions, and then make sure you join us next time for another great episode of Beyond the Ribbon. Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the Auto Inc. family of dealerships, as they have supported the 24 Hours in the Canyon Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website at 24survivorship.org.